Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. All right, today, ladies and gentlemen, is Wednesday, March the 13th, 2024. So you got about a month till taxes are due. So better get with it. Better start rounding everything up. Get on your kitchen table, either hand it over to, that's TurboTax, right? Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. I use Connie Kidd. I just like saying her name. She's my CPA.
Oh, that's like a candy bar.
Yes. Yeah. Your own personal CPA?
Well, she does my taxes. She's a CPA and does my taxes. I just like her name because it sounds like Joe Kidd, you know, the Clint Eastwood character.
Oh. Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley. Good morning. Formally introduce everybody here.
2 days until turkey season. That's all you need to know.
Oh yeah. Turkey season.
Eating them or killing deer?
Fred Jackson, good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
You a turkey hunter, Fred?
No. Turkey eater?
Turkey
not a
eater,
hunter.
Yes.
That's it.
Turkey hunting season, is this going to happen across the country? I know it happens.
About the same. Within a couple weeks of each other across the country, you get East Coast all the way to West Coast, and so you have a variation in seasons there by a couple weeks.
So this is something, though, that turkey hunters, this is like Christmas.
It is.
For them.
Yeah.
It's about to happen.
We're going to have my wife, Chelsea, on here in just a little bit.
To talk about turkey hunting?
Ask her for permission for you to go hunting?
No, but she's already asking me, when's it coming?
Right.
But we know it's coming.
I know she's also thinking, too, we just got through with deer hunting season.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, now it's time. You're telling me it's time for turkey hunting season,
right.
Huh?
All I know is growing up in New England, we used to hunt turkeys with the pocket knife. You want to talk about a challenge?
Yeah.
Turkeys with a pocket.
No, we didn't.
I don't believe it.
Yeah,
I don't believe it one bit.
My understanding is, first of all, I don't hunt. I blame my dad for it. He can't defend himself. He's in heaven, but he never took me hunting.
Sure.
You know, when he went hunting, it was with the guys up in the northern part of the state.
The grocery store.
No.
And everybody does grocery store hunting.
So I just never got into it, even as a grown up.
Sure.
So my first reaction is wouldn't think there'd be enough turkeys around for there to be a hunting season.
Right.
Yeah, but
right.
Apparently there is.
There are enough. There's been some ebbs and flows in the turkey population, but right now in most cases.
You want to get him started.
In an incline.
Really want to get him started.
You're right. This is a mistake.
Yes.
I flew with him one time. Right. Somewhere, and he was sitting right next
to
me.
Right.
First thing he did was pull up his computer and show me all his pictures for his trail cameras.
Right.
And
right.
I think you saw the background, and I had a picture up, and then you asked about it. And then from there, it was all she wrote.
It was the whole 2 hours.
That's it, every bit of it.
Try to get out of it.
Fred, I don't know.
You've lost control, Tim.
I don't even know.
Well,
I don't know. You know, you now need to be in the room.
I was just laying the foundation in the event that I was missing at TI next week.
Oh, so there's the possibility.
Oh.
I may be sick.
Okay. Turkey hunting season may prevent you from doing this show next week.
No,
week,
I'm what kidding.
Saying. Okay, all right.
I want to let our listeners know that normally there's a live video stream for this show, but I don't understand it, folks. They're replacing our
equipment.
Crack.
Say equipment.
IT department is replacing something with something else. So there's no video stream.
Right. There's nothing wrong with your computer.
There you go.
Okay. We normally live stream the video on Facebook and other places, streaming.afa.net, YouTube, but we're not there today. So there's nothing.
That's right.
We will be back tomorrow. We're not there today because of what Ed just described.
That's right. They're replacing something with something else.
There's technical difficulties beyond our control. They're replacing something with something else. That's good.
I just wanted to use the technical language that they told me.
All right. So you can't watch the show today. but you can...
you can listen.
Listen, and... All right, Fred, what's the first story?
Breaking news out of Georgia. The judge overseeing the Georgia election interference case against former President Trump has dismissed six charges against the former president. Now, there's several other charges, but six were dismissed. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAvey wrote in an order that six of the counts in the indictment must be quashed, including three against Trump. The ruling is a blow. There are several other defendants. The rule is certainly a blow for Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis. Now, you probably have never heard the name of that judge up until about 2 weeks ago, or Fonnie Willis, but both of them have become rather famous.
Right.
Because this is the same judge that has been hearing arguments from defense lawyers that Fonnie Willis should be removed from the case because the allegation...
Or extracurricular activities.
Yes. Well, let me put it as plain as possible. The allegation is she hired her boyfriend, who was married at the time, to right. someone else, to be the prosecutor, and has paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In cash.
But he's very experienced, right?
Yeah, he's very experienced.
That's tongue-in-cheek.
That's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. Very experienced at traffic.
Yeah.
The traffic ticket law.
So as they say, if you follow the money,
yes,
he gets paychecks for being the prosecutor.
While not having the experience to even do the job.
Yes. And then he proceeds to take her on trips.
Yeah, this work with that money.
Yeah. With that money. Yeah.
That's the allegation.
That is the allegation. And there was a lot of courtroom drama last week. I tell you, if you think Judge Judy, this courtroom job, this beats it. So these charges, basically the judge was saying they didn't have enough proof. And one of the charges has to do with the alleged phone call that the former president made to election officials because he was only beaten by about 12,000 votes in 2020. And so it was, the allegation is he said, find me the 12,000 votes. Well, what does find me the 12,000 votes mean?
Sure.
The Trump people are basically saying that there's got to be other votes out there that weren't counted.
Right. Right.
So
not creating them up. Their position is we're not, Trump did not mean to go create.
Cook up.
Yeah, yes. Like they might have. Tried in, I don't know, like Pennsylvania
or something like that. Yeah,
I'm kidding. We know that
yes.
didn't happen.
So, but other charges remain. Are the most serious charges still out there? Charges?
Well, because there's not only against Trump, but there's multiple defendants in this case.
Right.
So there's that. But so Trump is probably doing a little celebrating over that, but he's also celebrating over the fact that in the wake of yesterday's primaries, he has now enough delegates to be the official nominee. Likewise,
that was nip and tuck right there. The Republican nomination for Trump and Biden's
and
too.
Biden too.
Yes. Yeah. So
this is a pretty quick wrap up for primary season.
It is.
Both of these, both Trump and Biden, were
well. Biden didn't really
favored
have,
by a lot.
Have any. Challengers to say,
hey, and, don't Marianne Williamson, don't you know?
Yeah, I know that, how many that times new has
age,
she tried
that new age shaman. She had something going for her.
Yes. Anyway, Trump was celebrating last night. A little bit of what he had to say. Cut number 10.
The Republican National Committee has just declared us the official nominee. This was a great day of victory. Last week was something very special, Super Tuesday. But now we have to get back to work because we have the worst president in the history of our country. His name is Joe Biden. Most importantly, we now have to go on to victory because our country's in serious trouble. We have millions and millions of people flowing in. We have no respect on the world stage. What we say doesn't mean a thing anymore. And to have that happen is unthinkable.
Have what happen? You mean not be respected on the world stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. So onward we go. This also will allow the former president, Trump, to take a breath a little bit. You don't have to travel around so much.
He needs to raise money, I I tell you, I don't think they've got a – even the RNC.
Yeah, they don't have any money.
They don't have any money. They got
to
get
– time practice. To pass the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the hat. Nobody better to do that than Laura Trump. She is
– now the new
– is she the new
– what is she? She's a co-chair.
Yeah.
She's a co-chair.
Who's the chair? Who's the other one? Who's the co?
Gentleman.
It's the guy from Missouri, is it? I forget.
Could be. I'm not
– well, she is – listen, I like her.
Mm-hmm.
When I've seen her, she's very well spoken, and she's a good advocate for her father-in-law.
Yep,
Michael Whatley.
Michael got that job.
Yeah,
Mike.
He told me he was going places.
And now, he was the chair of the North Carolina Republican Party. He's been named the new chair of the RNC.
So he takes Ronald McDonald. I'm going full Joe Biden here. He's going Ronald McDaniel's job.
Right.
That's what he got. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, on where we go, the suspense is over, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump and Joe Biden will be the candidates in November. So we've got, I don't know, 6 or 8 months to saber this. Would you say six months?
If you're counting towards the conventions, those are July and August and then November.
We got... April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. We do have 8 months till the election.
And we get 1/4 of each brain in here, too.
Yes, we do.
That makes up one brain.
One full brain.
One full brain together.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican convention is July 15th through the 18th, and the Democrats are in August. I do have a question. Now, so the Georgia case against former President Trump is still ongoing. It's
yes.
Just that some of the charges have been thrown
Six.
Out.
The bigger story may come by the end of this week because the Fulton County Superior Court judge I mentioned, Scott McAvee, heard the Fonnie Willis case last week. He is supposed to rule maybe even by Friday of this week whether she should be removed from the case because of these alleged conflicts. Also, she and the boyfriend are now accused, not formally yet, of perjury because of some of the statements that they made and other witnesses have said when the relationship started.
Right.
If she is removed from the case, it goes to another prosecutor, and the speculation is that prosecutor may say, I don't think there's enough here for this RICO case that you're trying to make against these individuals. So there's, I think the more important decision from Judge McAvee may come with regards to whether he's going to dismiss Fonnie Willis.
Because it's supposed to be within a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and that was before last week. So
yes.
I think I even heard Fonnie Willis say she expects it by the end of this week.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be huge news if she's kicked off the case.
Mm-hmm. She'll take it well, though.
Well, she and her boyfriend can go on another cruise. Huh? I'm going to worry about this.
She could be disbarred.
She could be.
Yeah, if she's if committed perjury.
Yes.
And just with the ethics violation.
Yes.
If it's
listen,
true.
I watched some of that.
Why?
Entertainment
value.
It was like a train wreck. I will admit that, but it's a classic case of somebody thinking they're untouchable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're above the law. I watched her and I watched the other two, her boyfriend. What was his name? Who she hired to be the prosecutor?
Wade is his last name.
And then his attorney. Mm-hmm. It was like Peyton's Place, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It was
Peyton Place.
Peyton, yeah. Peyton's Place is Peyton Manning's
yes.
show, I think. But anyway, it's sorted, and...
I did watch clips of that, the yeah. interaction in court, Fonnie Willis, but you know what it struck me like? It struck me like when you see these videos of high-profile people in a city who get pulled over by the cops for DUI, and their attitude is, and they say, do you know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was doing.
You can't pull me over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so good news, partially good news for former President Trump in the Georgia case. Next story, Fred.
All right. Well, yesterday, we talked a little bit about this off the top of the show yesterday, but yesterday, special counsel Robert Hur who investigated the classical or classified documents that Joe Biden had in a whole lot of places. And he was in for a hearing as to why he decided not to lay any charges against the former president. And so there were hours of testimony and questions.
He didn't recommend, right? He didn't recommend any charges.
He didn't recommend.
Charges.
And the reason he gave, one of the reasons, now he did not, and this was a big point yesterday, he did not exonerate. That term was not used in the over 300-page document that he issued on the investigation. However, the Democrats tried to put that word out there that he had exonerated the former president. What he said was, yes, the former president had classified documents. He shared some of those classified documents with his ghostwriter. But he decided not to charge him. And, of course, this became the big controversy when the initial report came out that he is, and I'm paraphrasing here, a doddering old man and a jury would feel sorry for him.
You're paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing.
Well, can we have some legal commentary from you on this?
legal commentary?
Yeah. Give down-home commentary if you want
some
to.
Some down-home commentary?
Yeah, what do you think about this?
Well, it obviously hurts the Democrats because you have a Democrat saying what we all know to be true about President Joe Biden's mental capacity.
Now, her?
Her.
He's not a Democrat.
No.
He actually
was appointed by Trump. To
okay,
the Justice Department.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So he would be considered an objective.
Yeah. He was appointed by the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, to investigate this whole situation, and he came to the conclusion that yes, Biden did mishandle
classified documents,
mm-hmm. and you could charge him if you wanted to. But he said,
so it was like a special counsel.
Yes, that's yep. right. He said, my professional opinion, I'm paraphrasing here, yes. is he had no intent to do wrong, and I'm going to, and he's a mentally challenged man, elderly man, mentally challenged, not as in mentally retarded, but mentally.
Well, his memory.
His memory fails him.
Yes.
And a jury would look at him like with sympathy, right?
Right.
The problem I have with this, I respect Mr. Herr. I've watched him, and he seems like a fine investigator, a special counsel, and I do believe he did a thorough job here. I don't need his opinion on whether or not to prosecute or not based on the man's being elderly or whatever. What do you call him? He called him elderly and...
He made comments about his memory. Well, he's not qualified to do that. Well, he is, Herr is qualified, Robert Herr is qualified to decide whether he thinks there's enough evidence to prosecute.
And he said there is.
But he's not qualified, unless he's got a second degree somewhere that we don't know about, to determine the mental fitness of the president. Right? I mean,
yep.
The president was not given any cognitive tests.
No. To both your points, I'd like to play you the reaction from former Assistant U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy, who believes Herr did well yesterday, but he says he should have charged Biden. Some of what he has to say, I think, echoes what you guys are saying. Cut number one.
I think he was a very good witness. He's obviously a straight shooter. I think, you know, the plan they had to try to paint him as a political hack going in obviously blew up on contact because he's just not the kind of guy. You could tell watching his demeanor that he's not that kind of person. On the other hand, I'm not persuaded by his rationale. You know, he kept making excuses for why a jury might have, acquitted despite this fact, despite that fact. And, you know, that's what defense lawyers usually do in trials. What judges tell juries is that, you know, you look at the evidence in conjunction, not in isolation, not bit by bit. And I think you're talking about a 40-year course of conduct where the prosecutor himself concluded that Biden acted willfully. To me, that's a case you take to trial.
Absolutely. Either that or drop Trump's charges.
Mm-hmm.
one or the other. You just did this. You dropped the charges against Trump down in Florida. I know this is not going to happen. For the mishandling or keeping classified documents at Mar-a-Lago in the bathroom.
What her said was an elderly man with a poor memory, end quote.
This is actually bizarre. President Trump is only like 3 years younger, right?
So four.
He's four?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a prosecutor, a special counsel. All right. I don't think he's the special prosecutor. That would probably be the next step. But the special counsel has said now publicly, okay, first of all, he said he's not going to charge Joe Biden because a jury will not convict him because we're all paraphrasing, because he's too old and doesn't have a good memory. So he is not only...
he's unfit to stand trial.
He's unfit to stand trial. So he is not only poisoned a potential jury pool, okay, with his commentary mm-hmm. about it, okay, but he's basically announced that since the federal government and the DOJ is still going after Trump, that Trump is fit to stand trial.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that means if he's fit to stand trial and Biden isn't, then Trump is fit to be president and Biden isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a representative from California, Tom Miklach, and he said, so what you're saying, and he's the House Judiciary Committee, and he said this. He said, so all I have to do when I'm caught taking on my classified materials to say, well, I'm sorry, I'm Mr. Her. But I'm getting old, my memory's getting lost, and it's not so great. This is my doctrine that you've established in our laws now, and it's frightening.
Exactly. Right. It's a double. All right, listen, one caveat about the difference, and I mentioned it before, just because, listen, for the Republicans in this country, they just go, there's a two-tier system of justice, and that's very understandable.
Right.
What they're going to say about, if you say, well, what's different about the Trump and Biden situation? Number one, they're going to say that, well, Trump's going to say I had presidential right to take all the stuff that I took and keep it and whatever. They're going to say it's not going to be that. It's going to be, did Trump participate in an obstruction of justice effort? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When they came after the documents through the authorities, through the federal court with the subpoena, did he try to trick them and mislead them and move them around? That's going to be basically the question. It's obstruction of justice, not maintaining the documents. Now, but again, I said yesterday, this is twice that we had Hillary Clinton, James Comey, the FBI director, did the same thing. He made the case that she should be prosecuted. Then he said, not going to do it. Here, this fella here, her, by the way, it seemed like to me Merrick Garland, the AG, would have the final say on whether to proceed with.
I think that's true.
Okay. But he's not going to go after his boss.
Right.
Right, Biden. But he's saying, but this, as Andy McCarthy just said, seemed like a decent, respectable, honest person. He all of a sudden becomes a psychologist.
Right.
You know, and decides whether somebody's mentally capable of.
And that's outside his. What we asked him for.
If he wanted to find that out, he should have demanded that the president be given a cognitive test.
Sure.
We're going to test you, Mr. Yeah. President, to see if you are.
Well, and if I were, I don't know what happened.
But even if you are, the intent doesn't change.
No,
even if he is cognitive, that helps, but you still did wrong.
All I'm saying is her is not qualified to decide that.
That's true.
I wonder what her pronouns are.
He, him.
Yeah. Okay, he, him.
Hers
okay.
Pronouns are
hers.
He, him.
That, see what it did there?
Yeah.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
We'll be back momentarily.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chance at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so please be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, good morning again, everybody, and welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, live radio right here, people. For the next 55 minutes or so, right here on this radio station, American Family Radio. Hey, if you were expecting to watch the show on Facebook or our live streaming service or YouTube, we're having technical difficulties, and they will be fixed. They'll be fixed by tomorrow. So our video stream is not available right now. There's nothing wrong with your computer.
So you can get your fix tomorrow if you wanted to see our faces tomorrow. You check back with us.
You check back. Yeah, I'm sure there's great demand for that. all right. So, hey, want to spend a couple minutes talking about something we do here at AFA, American Family Association, the parent ministry of American Family Radio. We have a service that we provide for our supporters that I wanted to, you know, we don't spend a lot of time doing this, tooting our own horn much, but we have a foundation that has some services that I think some of our folks might be interested in. So joining us in studio right now is Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of American Family Association Foundation. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
In case you're wondering, because I know a lot of you are wondering what relationship is to the Wildman family. Well, she's married to Wesley over here.
He allowed me to be on the program.
Yeah. Oh, he allowed. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's.
Buddy, you drop the chair all the way down to the floor
that's right,
level?
Yeah. Well, she double crossed me when I said turkey season. So I said, you know what? We're gonna put your chair all the way down.
For those who can't see into the studio,
yeah,
which is all of you,
the Chelsea's chair is on the ground.
Just about.
She looks like Dorf.
It's like she's in kindergarten.
If you remember Dorf.
No.
The little miniature golfer.
I think you should just stop right there.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, all right, so Chelsea.
Anyway, I'm here, no matter how tall I am.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you. And Landry's here, one of my 72 grandchildren that I have. Anyway, Landry's here at spring break, so Mama had to bring her, and they have Bennett, and they have Anna Wesley, two of the other kids, but they're not in studio with us today. So, Chelsea, tell me what we do at the AFA Foundation.
Yes. So our main focus is our charitable gift annuity, which gives our annuitants a lifetime income. They put a certain amount in, whatever is best for their situation, and in return, they get a fixed percentage for the rest of their life. So that percentage is not going to go up or down with the market. It's going to stay the same as they get older into retirement. And you do get some tax benefits from that charitable right. gift annuity. You get a partial tax deduction the year that you give the gift, as well as partial tax-free income when you start to receive those payments.
A charitable gift annuity is what it's called, right?
Yes, yes. In short, a CGA.
So if somebody wants, we have a lot of people who've done this. This is what I'm talking about. So if somebody wants to say, you know what, I have money, I'm getting ready to retire, I would like to purchase a $50,000 charitable gift annuity or $10,000 charitable gift annuity. I don't know what the minimum is. But so they would contact you and then... And you're saying that they would then turn that money over to us, and in return, there's a contract here. It's all the paperwork. It's all legal. They get a certain amount of money the rest of their life.
Right. That is correct.
What happens to the $50,000?
Yes. So the minimum to answer that question is $2,000. And then, like I said, it just goes up from there. But yes, if they put $50,000 into the charitable gift annuity, they can either choose to receive it immediately or defer that until a later time when they really feel like they need that income.
But when they pass away.
Yes.
Then the $50,000 comes to American Family.
Right. Whatever has not been paid out to that annuitant will then be gifted to AFA.
And we're a charity.
Exactly.
So thus the charitable gift annuity.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a win-win-win.
Exactly. It's a win-win. I want to add, so how do people, they may be having to get out of the car right now, and they're interested in wills, estates, charitable gift annuities, those kinds of things that we handle here at AFA, all national ministries have this outreach. How do they get in touch with us here?
Yes, absolutely. They can give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. Again, I'll give that one more time, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can send us an email. My email is cwildman@afa.net, or you can visit our website, afafoundation.net.
Okay, at the website, you can read a lot about us.
Absolutely.
So you can, a lot of the questions are answered there. What's the website?
afafoundation.net.
Now, what about wills? Because occasionally here, you know, we'll get somebody who has supported us. They passed away, and then we find out they left us in their will. So right. Do we help with that, or?
Well, we provide information. If folks are interested in that, they can certainly give us a call. We provide our tax identification number and all of the contact information if they would like to include us as a beneficiary in their will, or possibly a life insurance policy, or maybe just a bank account that they want to leave any remainder to. So, yes, many ways to give to AFA in your estate plan.
I personally do that as well if people want to leave me money.
You have your own website.
Yes. I don't know if you have your own tax identification number.
You got your own tax identification number?
No, are you a charity yet?
It actually works below the legal threshold. So this is just, no, I'm just, listen, American Family Association, a lot of people consider this to be a ministry worth giving to, and there are various ways to give. So we have Charathon coming up in April. A lot of our listeners will support the ministry that way, or with other gifts throughout the year, but this is a way that benefits them as well.
Right.
Charitable gift annuities are the main thing that we do. But
yes, yes. Charitable gift annuities are a piece of your retirement portfolio, not the whole pie per se.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
Maybe about 10% carve out to, you know, a charity of your choice, and we would love to be that charity.
Now, the other day I saw Tom Selleck on TV. And do we do reverse mortgages here at AFA? I just wondered. That seemed like a big deal.
Yeah. Huh? Tom Selleck.
We don't do reverse mortgages?
That is not something we handle. No.
Okay.
No. And actually, we do have a new option, an IRA to CGA rollover. So if folks are 70 and a half or older and they want to roll into from their IRA to a charitable gift annuity, they can do that up to $53,000.
Really?
So that's up to, yes. All
that's
other
a big
qualified
change.
Retirement.
Addition.
Yes, that's a newer option for us, but all other qualified retirement funds cannot be rolled over or transferred, just that IRA to CGA.
Okay, so if you're interested in any of this, folks, if you want to support American Family Radio, you listen to us and you say, I want to keep supporting you even in my retirement and benefit yourself.
That's right.
And annuities aren't for everybody, but we have a lot of people who do this, and it's very helpful for our ministry and helps us plan long term. So what is the, give us your email again and also give us the website again.
Yes. My email is cwildmon at afa.net. And website again is afafoundation.net. www.jurors.net. And we would love to just provide this information to you. There's no pressure at all. We just want to provide the information to see if it's right for you.
I think you'll know you've called the right place if you get some down home Southern girls.
Yeah, with kids. Yeah, sometimes we don't have.
I'm sorry. We don't have anything against Yankees, but there's not any of them working in our foundation. There's no guys either.
No, huh?
But there is in the Ed Foundation.
That's right.
There are guys.
Contact the Ed Foundation.
Yeah, and the guy.
Guido will answer the phone.
So you get it. If you want a Yankee, call the Ed Foundation.
Yeah. Is Guido there?
This is Guido. Okay. How can I help you?
Oh, boy.
All right, thank you, Chelsea.
Oh, mate. Thank you all so much for allowing me to be on today.
Yeah. Amen. So that's the
AFAFoundation.net, yeah. AFAFoundation.net. Many of the questions that you feel like you don't want to call in and wait, not that you'd wait long,
right,
but
call 20 minutes for, talking to, they're answered there.
They're answered there. A lot of the questions, there's a bunch of most commonly asked questions and answers right there on the website.
Yes, AFA but Foundation. We would love to
talk
speak
to
with
people
them.
Personally.
Yes.
And the ladies there, in all seriousness, are very knowledgeable and very nice, easy to talk to.
Right.
Yes.
AFAFoundation.net. .net.
All right.
And they have thank real you. Chairs over there.
That's
where
right.
they can sit up
yes,
like grown-ups.
Yes, I'm taller at my desk. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chelsea. Chelsea Wildman joining us there for to talk about our
y'all
work.
Notice I behaved that entire time. I didn't interrupt her.
You did.
Because you want to go turkey hunting.
That's right.
We know what the motive is.
And remember you said when before she came on.
You, no, whatever she, you're about to say.
If she let you go turkey
right.
hunting, you'd let her do
right,
whatever
right,
she
right.
wants.
That's right.
Remember?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that, Ed. Put words in my mouth and live radio.
I know nothing. I know nothing.
I see nothing.
All right. We shall continue here. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You are, we encourage you to go, as Wesley said, go read all about it. You don't have to talk to anybody. There's no pressure. All you got to do is go to the website and read about the charitable gift annuities, estate and will planning, those kinds of things, because it does help our ministry. And it provides an income for you, you know, if you get an annuity.
This, we didn't have time to get to this, so I'll add
yeah,
one more.
Go ahead.
It's a set rate. So, like, it's not determined
right.
on the stock market going up or down
good
over
point.
The years. So
you'll know what to count
you
on.
You just, whatever you lock into, you lock into. So you don't have to worry about the uncertainty of what goes on in the near future or long-term future.
Right.
Which is another added benefit because of, you know.
Yeah, we're thinking about opening up an arm of Bitcoin ministry here that will be separate from the
yes.
Foundation, huh?
And no, then also for those who want to invest in gold.
Well, yeah. you joke about that. There are other ministries out there that are constantly trying to find new ways to make money, and because of the times that we live in. But the hard reality is, we've looked at many different ways, and this is the best. It's the best. Everyone
right.
wins.
And the important thing is that you know exactly what you're getting into, and what you're doing, and who you're giving to.
Yep.
So if you do a $50,000 annuity. Then you know exactly how much you're going
right.
to get income the rest of your life based right. on a certain percentage.
And so. You can do as many as you want.
Right.
You can do one now. 5 years from now, you may be in a better situation. You can do more. So
yeah,
you can build on it.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR.
See, I do listen.
Yeah, yeah. You do.
At home when we're going to.
Wesley, Ed, Tim, and Fred. Fred, what's the next story?
Well, I'm in a room full of college sports experts.
Mm.
Yes.
Exclude me.
Okay. You're more pro guy. You're more pro hockey guy.
I'm not a college sports expert. You're talking about Tim and Wesley.
Right.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes.
Well, you embarrass me. Yeah, I am pretty much.
But I do think if you even watch the occasional college football
right.
game,
yeah.
you may have heard of Coach Nick Saban.
Yes, everybody knows who he is.
Now,
yes.
for our Alabama, the college fans, we do – we have over the years here recently ribbed Alabama and Alabama fans, okay, just because they always win,
yes.
right? Well, I just want to let folks know that if they're Alabama fans, we're about to say something nice.
Oh, absolutely. Most people would know that Coach Nick Saban retired after an absolutely incredible career coaching the Alabama team. But yesterday,
I would say GOAT.
Oh yeah,
greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He's the GOAT of college football. Yep.
Yes.
Coachings.
Yesterday, he was in Washington, D.C. at a roundtable sponsored by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. And what they were discussing, it wasn't a hearing, it was a roundtable, but what they were discussing is where college sports is headed. And there was some very compelling testimony from Coach Nick Saban, and he says, and you're going to hear it here, this, what he has to say, played into his decision to retire. So it's, listen carefully, folks, he has some grave concerns about where college football is headed. Cut number 11.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert.
Yeah, that's Coach Nick Saban, the former coach at the University of Alabama and LSU and Michigan State and the Miami Dolphins. So, but he won all but one of his national championships at Alabama, won one at LSU. Listen, he when he speaks, people listen.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of at least his view of college sports and college football in particular, and the reason this is an issue, this is more than sports,
right?
Right here, this is what he's talking about is the culture change that's taken place. And it's become all about me, right?
Right.
It's that, and not, there's nothing wrong with being for you, being for me. I mean, we all look out for our own best interest, and, right. and these athletes, would you tell them the same. But what he's saying is going from a coach and a high school athlete offering him a scholarship and a chance to play football, in this case at the University of Alabama, to the players and the parents of the players today feeling like they're peers of Coach Saban and other coaches. And all they want to do nowadays is know how much money they're going to make when they go to the school. And we're not talking about professional sports here. We're talking about college. Now, they are allowed to pay college athletes the last year or two. I don't know when that changed. It's called the name, image, likeness law that was, I don't know if it's a law, but it was a ruling. Anyway, Wesley, go ahead. Do you want to comment on this?
I don't even know where to begin. I got so many thoughts here, but I'll start with this. I've seen the major shift here starting all the way back to about 10 years ago, and you could see in it, and it was a slow fade in this direction, starting with this is one of many things, but when players started skipping, they would play for 3 years, and then all the way up in their very last game in a bowl game right before the NFL draft, they would not play. As you started seeing that now, before y'all say, well, there's a career ahead of them, blah blah blah, okay, well,
They didn't play and because they didn't want to risk injury, which would hurt themselves in the NFL draft.
Correct. So the problem with that is then you've got players who have committed to their team for that length of time, and all of a sudden they're not playing. And then 5 years later, you got Bosa, which was a defensive end for Ohio State.
Nick Bosa,
who played one season and then skip the next one in order not to get injured. It became more and more And then of course NIL and everything else. You got more and more shift. Just as Nick Saban said, the culture of football has changed, because sports in its purest sense is about team. It's team first. It's not.
Unless
it's
you're
not,
a golfer.
Well. Yeah. Yeah, even then in college, it's a team.
Yeah.
But professionally, that's true. Right. But see, that's the difference. Even in golf, that's not necessarily true, because in golf, in college, in high school, it's a team sport. Yeah. It's not an individual sport. It's not till you get to professional, which is why when you cross over to professionalism, I understand. When you get to professionalism, I understand 100% about what
looking out for number one.
Well, because you're trying to you're providing for your family at that point. You're providing for yourself. But until you get to professional sports, which I believe you can do both, even in professional sports, because Tom Brady proved that. He took a significant pay cut in order for his team to have more money to get better players.
Yeah.
So even in professional sports, there's exceptions
That's
there.
True.
But we have entered into we have, because of
society,
social media, everything is about yourself and what you can do for yourself. It's a very selfish, narcissistic society, so much so that Caleb Williams, who was a quarterback at Oklahoma, who when the head coach there left Oklahoma 2 years ago, everybody was trying to recruit Caleb Williams from Oklahoma to their college, because he would enter the transfer portal. And when Nick Saban and many of these other coaches reached out to Caleb Williams and his parents and said, we would like to have your son play for us because we think that he could help us win, Caleb Williams' dad said audibly in an interview, I don't care what my son can do for you. What can you do to get my son in the NFL? Telling you, that's the nature.
It's a mentality.
It's a mentality.
Yeah.
It's not about team sports. It's not about putting yourself, because team sports, when you enter in the field with other players, it's what you can do to encourage the teammate, to pick up your teammate. What can you do to hold your teammate accountable? Everything in, there's so much in life that you can learn from sports that you can't learn nowadays. In a lot of ways.
That's Nick Saban there saying it's all about the individual now.
And listen, these are complicated issues. You guys did a great job, Tim and Wesley.
You're welcome.
Laying out how complicated the issue is. Because, like you said, you can get injured, and young men do want careers in their sports. Here's my overarching concern, and I don't want to overblow this, okay, because – when I'm talking about young people, there are a lot of fine young people, many of whom work here, that I interact with every day. And these young people love Jesus. They are diligent about their job. They're hardworking. They have good heads on their shoulders. I'm talking, because it's not just young people. Our culture is turning inward, and it is starting to develop this, at least, veneer of narcissism and self-concern to the point where I'm not sure when the next war comes or the next huge trial comes, how many people, older or younger, are going to be willing to risk their futures, their lives, to protect the rest of us and to stand in defense of our country. And that's a real thing through history. You can study the collapse of the Third Republic in France between the two world wars. When people stop caring about a nation and the group and only care about themselves, you risk oblivion. And that's my concern. And it's, everyone with the selfies and with, all that kind of stuff that we've all seen. And young people are the same, probably, no matter what generation you're talking about. But I have real concerns about whether or not people will pay the price to protect this country when called upon.
Well, to what Ed is saying, and we've dealt with this story a number of times over the last couple of years, look at the problem with military recruitment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go into the military, you talk about team sport.
Yes. Right.
It's that's drilled into you. You are a component of a team.
And everybody has their role, their responsibility.
And we've got a huge problem in our military right now.
Right.
Well, and it's a reflection of our culture today, and I don't know where this is going to end up, but broadly and generally, again, we're not indicting everybody. Obviously, there are some good.
There's exceptions here.
There are exceptions out there, especially, I think in the Christian community, in our churches, right, with our kids. But even they're susceptible. But to this narcissism, again, broadly and generally, this is what's impacting our young people in particular. Narcissism, me, instant gratification.
Yep.
The me thing, I just see these people take it. I saw a girl last week. Allison and I were out. This girl was walking. I forgot where we were. We were out doing something, and she had taken, walking across like a parking lot in a restaurant. She took like 30 selfies in 5 minutes. I'm going like, who's watching? You really think that the world needs to see you?
Right.
That much? And I'm just saying, this whole thing of me, look at me.
You're taking care of yourself is a good thing, and looking out for yourself,
yes,
but not at the expense,
right,
of lying and manipulating, right, and using other people, and that's where we're at in a lot of ways.
I'm afraid, Ed, I don't know, that we lost a lot of people kids who don't even understand patriotism.
Yes, that's
anymore,
right.
And the left has maligned it, too. You know, taking a knee at the national anthem.
Yeah.
And encouraging that kind of thing. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.